Welcome to the Nerding Out Podcast with your hosts, Jeremy Staples and Brett Beeler.
Hello, everybody. Are you ready to nerd the fuck out? I am Jeremy Staples, and with me, as always, is Brett Beeler. Say hi, Brett.
Hey, what's going on? I'm ready to nerd out.
Are you ready to nerd the fuck out?
I've been nerding the fuck out pretty much all day, so ready was when I woke up.
Good, good. All right, so I guess we should just jump right into shit. We're going to start off with TV news this week, namely Breaking Bad. I could not be more excited, as I said last week, about this coming season. And there's a small little tidbit before we get into this. I came across this this article where it's eight revelations from inside the Breaking Bad writer's room. And it was kind of cool. There was one key point on here that I wanted to touch on that I did not know, and that was that Jesse was actually supposed to die in the first season. In the end of the first season, and they liked him so much that they made him a full character, and I have to say that that was probably the best thing they ever did for that show. I cannot imagine that show without him. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I remember reading that a while back, and I think it's awesome, and he was really able to obviously do an amazing job, and he's only gotten better every single season. So, it's good that they realized what they had on their hands and didn't miss out on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, what would that show be without, you know, Magnus, bitch, you know? he brings he brings a much needed comic relief to that show that was much needed, a little levity in with all the horrible things that happen, you know, in the course of that. Yeah, another Breaking Bad topic that I wanted to talk about was, and I posted this on our official Nerding Out page, facebook.com/nerdingoutpodcast, about the little mini comic, online comic that they've released the first chapter of. And over the course of, I guess, the next week or so, I guess the rest of it's supposed to unfold, I think it's a pretty cool little tie-in. Kind of like the minisodes that they had with the, I think it was season one and two. Have you gotten a chance to look at it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't follow the online stuff nearly as much. I mostly watch the show when it comes to any given show. The comic looks great. I'm definitely going to check that out. I never really watched the minisodes. So I'll have to let you take over as far as that goes.
You're going to have to talk into the phone, Brett.
I'm trying.
Just pretend that you're talking into the head of a dick and you'll be okay. Open wide. Okay, and so that leads into this next little bit of audio I actually have readied up here. And it's taken from the teaser trailer for the upcoming final season. I'm just going to go ahead and play it and then we can discuss it afterwards. Here you go.
I met a traveler from an antique land who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things. The hand that mocked them, the heart that fed, and on the pedestal these words appear. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away."
Now, how many boners does that give you?
Approximately seven.
Approximately seven. What you can't see, of course, because it being just the audio from the trailer, is there was one key shot towards the end with Walt's fedora hat sitting in the sand, you know, kind of being covered and washed away by time almost. And it's kind of apropos because the poem that he's actually reading from is Ozymandias, and Ozymandias, and I actually forgot who it was by. But the key to that poem is that it's about like a fallen king or evil pharaoh who his empire has fallen into decay, and that is basically what we have been saying with this entire season is going to be about like the downfall in some way or another of Walter White. And I could not love that more.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, one of the reasons I really love the show is how thematic everything is and how well everything ties in, just constantly from season to season. And, I love stuff like this. I think it's great. They love introducing the parallels between the two stories, and I can't wait for the end. I'm as sad as I am to see it end. I'm really excited because a lot of shows really don't go out on a high note, and I think this is one show that really, really can pull it off. So I'm pretty stoked.
Yes, I don't see Breaking Bad, you know, going silently into the dark night. You know, it's definitely going to be impactful. It's going to be meaningful, and it's going to make me cry. So let's move on to something a little less depressing there. You're a Netflix subscriber, Brett. Have you had a chance to check out the new show, Orange is the New Black?
No, but my girlfriend has. I haven't, except for really Dexter lately. There's not anything I've been cluing into too much, just waiting for Breaking Bad, and then I'll probably can't get enough of every show that I can get my hands on. But I've heard it's really great. I've talked to other people, a couple other people who've watched it, and I've been meaning to. So tell me a little about it.
Well, yeah, me and Bethany actually sat and watched the first episode of it last night. If you're a fan of Weeds, you're definitely going to love the show. It's by Jenji Cohen, the creator of Weeds. It keeps that same tone. You got your, you know, the heroine of the show this time. It's a girl named Piper Chapman, who has been imprisoned for transporting drug money. She was had a drug scheme going on with her lesbian girlfriend. Yeah, it's pretty hot. But no, this show has everything. It's funny. It's slightly dark edge underneath it. You know, kind of like how Weeds was. You know, always kind of like, you know, flirting with that. And there's lots of tits. Like, Jesus Christ, like, the first, like, 5 minutes is, like, titty, 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 titty. So, I mean, you can't not love that, right?
Of course. Who doesn't love titties?
Chris Berg. But, yeah, so it's a good thing. They've actually renewed the show for a second season already, so that's what's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to what this has to bring, and you should definitely check it out because I'm going to want to talk to you about this show coming up.
All right, definitely. I really like that Netflix is kind of starting their own shows up and being able to produce their own content. I really loved House of Cards. I tore through that pretty quick and should probably watch it again because I think with how fast I watched it, I didn't really absorb everything. So I'm excited for that, too. So I'm glad that there's more quality content coming out and excited to see what else they're going to bring.
Well, let's talk about House of Cards for a second. I actually, even though I have Netflix, for some reason, because I'm a whore for buying season sets, I guess, I was at a pawn shop the other day, and I found the first season for $3. It was on sale, and I was like, well, shit, $3? Hell yeah, I'll buy it. But I have not had a chance to watch it. What are your impressions of that show?
Kevin Spacey is a god. That is all I'm going to say about the show until you start watching it.
That's a pretty good recommendation, if I've ever heard one. Let's see here. Next up. I had planned on discussing at length this last week's episode of Dexter, But honestly, I don't remember a whole lot about the episode, I'll be honest, other than being kind of annoyed with Deb. What did you think of it?
I don't know. I feel like the episode didn't have the big kind of a shock twist ending like the past couple or almost everyone this season has, which is fine. Not every episode needs to have that. But without spoiling too much, I mean, essentially you get a little touching family-esque moment when Dexter takes Vogel and Deb out on the boat at the end to dump a body. And they're all kind of slight smiles and feeling good about each other. And so I think this is kind of like the calm before the storm. I'm really hoping just about everything's ready to go to shit. And I'm excited.
Yes. I one thing that I did want to touch on about the episode itself was they, you know, as the show sometimes does, they throw a curveball. This entire time you're thinking that the one guy is going to be, you know, the big bad, you know, killer, and then they kill him off halfway through the season, and then they introduce this new, like, character, this seemingly disturbed son to that one douchebag who I can't remember his name. So I like that they're kind of changing it. Could this possibly be somebody who Dexter is going to take under his wing and teach the code to, is what I took from it. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I don't want to say too much because I do try to avoid the preview for the following episode because I feel they're super spoilery, but I really like to read other people's impressions online. Unfortunately, people talk about those previews for the next episode, so I know a little bit about what's going to go on with that kid. And I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence about it, leaning towards I don't really want to see Dexter take someone under his wing. I don't want him to kind of leave the series open like that. I want a definitive ending. I don't want to leave anything open for any more spinoffs they're going to do because Dexter has kind of run its course. This season, last season, were pretty good, but they need to end on a good note. So I really hope they kind of don't do that.
Yeah, I can see your point. Okay, so next we're going to move into Sons of Anarchy. There was one little quick news item that I wanted to start out with this before we get into the meat of everything. The fact that this next season, RoboCop himself, Peter Weller, is going to be guest starring as a crooked cop who's going to be butting heads with the club. I love Peter Weller. He's like such a part of my childhood because, you know, RoboCop. And I know he's also directed several episodes of the show. I think it was last season or the season before, maybe both. So I'm pretty excited about that. Are you a big Peter Weller fan?
I can't really say I am. I mean, I'm nothing against the guy or anything, but I don't definitely hold him in the regard that you do. But, I mean, I love the show. I'm sure it's good for the show. I'm excited. I'm open-minded. Let's see if he can impress me and get me to the level that you're on.
Well, I will say that Peter Weller, in past roles, he can play an evil prick. And I think that he'll fit very well in with the series.
Yeah, I mean, this series is just, it's a series of kind of like badass assholes. Like, everybody's going to do what they have to do to achieve their ends, and I love it. Like, it's, everybody is so kind of like dirty in the show that you don't really feel bad for liking any of them, because you got to like somebody.
Yes, yes. So next up was Sons of Anarchy story. This is the one I actually just sent to you about how during the course of the first episode, there's going to be some big shocking twist, something that they're promising is going to be controversial. This could be hype, but I trust Kurt Sutter when he says these kind of things. He's not one to over hype something like this. But essentially what they're saying is that whatever happens in the first episode of this season is going to affect the eventual end of the show come next season. So it's going to be something like big, huge, like shocking twist. I didn't think it was possible, but they found a way to for a second, make me look past my anticipation for Breaking Bad and start to think about what's going on with this show.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked for it to start. I don't know how they're going to top themselves from the season opener last season. And spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, with Tig's daughter getting set on fire while he's chained in front of her. And that was just heart-wrenchingly amazing. One of my friends was actually over, and I'd been bugging him to watch the show for a long time, and he never had. And he sat down and watched that episode, and I could tell by the look on his face, he knew he needed to watch it. And so let's see what they're going to do with this. Like you said, I trust Sutter too. I think it'll be a big episode. I'm ready for my jaw to be on the floor.
Yes. Definitely. Anticipation is building for that. And it's coming soon. We got 40 days. So we'll see.
I predict this season, Otto will stick his nuts in a blender. I think that's the only direction left for that character to go.
Fuck.
For the club.
For the club. He'll do it for the club. Okay, so we're going to move over to a little bit of movie news. First off, last week we had mentioned how I had yet to see Man of Steel. Well, I corrected that mistake this week, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that movie. Okay, I will say this about it. It was not a bad movie. It was a good movie. It was a good action movie. It was, it had a lot of those big action set pieces and stuff like that. But to me, it did not feel like Superman. It was much too, gloomy, dour. It just did not fit the Superman character very much. I mean, the one scene when he's sinking into the skulls, I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I guess it's to be expected from, Chris Nolan and Zack Snyder, but it just, to me, it needed a little bit of fun to it. It was very much lacking.
I can see where you're coming from. I see how some people feel like maybe there's a little bit too much Batman in that Superman movie, but I still really liked it. I feel like with the Superman movie we got before, I'm not a huge, huge fan of, This is definitely a step up. I'm excited. I thought I forget who played Superman. I already forgot his name. Henry Cavill, maybe. Is that it? Am I right? Did I win?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I feel like he did a good job. And I'm excited for Batman Superman. How about you?
I am too. And that was actually our next topic. The reports of the coming out, I think it was yesterday or today, no, it was this morning actually, about how they want to cast a older Batman. And so now this kind of, because we had kind of, speculated on who could possibly, play the Dark Knight in that movie, this kind of throws a wrench into it, because now they're looking for somebody in their mid-40s instead of, a young Batman.
Yeah, I think it's a great move. I think... We've definitely seen plenty of young Batman, and Batman is a guy who doesn't quit until he's old and frail and can't anymore. So I'm excited. What do you think of the picks, the names that were leaked? I've got one in mind that I think would be great, but I'd like to hear what you had to say about the other people.
As far as what the rumored.
As far as who's rumored to be playing Super or Batman in the next movie.
I kind of go back and forth on this. I know a lot of people are talking Jon Hamm to play it, and I could see that. I just don't think he's rugged enough. He doesn't come across as somebody who, has, spent, such and such amount of years, on the streets, fighting crime at night. I know another one of the people who has been rumored or been in talks about, but people have been talking about possibly being put in that role is Carl Urban. He was in, in Dread. He's been around. So I wouldn't mind him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that would be a bad choice at all. I think that I could definitely see that happening. But out of the names I saw leaked, John Hamm, no, I don't think so really either. Gerard Butler, no. Jude Law, nah. Josh Duhamel, maybe, but I'm not a huge fan either. The one name that really stuck out to me was Josh Brolin. I think he could play a great, like, mid-40s Batman. I was kind of, like, putting my hand over his face and looking at his jawline, and I think it'd be great for the Batman. And he's a great actor. So that's my pick. That's who I really like to see play Batman in the next movie.
I think that would be great. And another thing with them going with this older Batman is it seems like they're kind of playing it close to Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns graphic novel. And I've always said that if they are going to do a movie like this, you know, if they're going to pair up Batman and Superman in a movie, especially if it's Batman versus Superman, it should just be The Dark Knight Returns. Of course, I can't call it that. It's too close to, you know, Dark Knight Rises. But it should kind of follow that basic story arc, storyline. Honestly, there's just, there is not a better Batman story out there. And I am excited of the possibility that they could be kind of bringing that to the big screen.
Yeah, and I mean, thankfully, I mean, I can't, I'm still in shock that it's happening. And within the next couple of years, we should be able to see it for ourselves. So it's going to be amazing. I can't wait for all the more little tidbits of news they're going to leak out between now and then. My hopes couldn't be higher for the movie.
No doubt. Okay, so moving over to another movie I'm excited for, X-Men Days of Future Past. This week there was a couple photos that were leaked of the Sentinels, the giant robots who hunt down the mutants. And I was a huge fan of the X-Men animated series when I was growing up. And I always loved the Sentinels. They were just, you know, scary big and, you know, tearing apart houses and shit. These ones, not quite as big, and I'm not really liking the design of them. But if this is, you know, because this is Days of Future Past, so they are playing with different time periods in this movie. So if these are just, like, early prototypes, possibly, of the Sentinels, I can get behind that. But I am still going to, you know, I'm not going to, you know, judge, you know, this entire movie on, you know, a few pictures that I've seen released. Did you see those pictures?
No, I didn't see them yet. Usually when I'm crewing, when movies have a long time to come out, unless it's something I'm super, super pumped for, I try to avoid it because I'd rather have it be brand new when I go to watch the movie myself. I mean, something like Batman and Superman, that's going to be a little different. But X-Men, I mean, that's the type of movie I'd rather just wait and see and not know too much about the movie beforehand.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm excited for it. I mean, that's kind of getting repetitive, me saying this, but I'm excited for everything, of course. We're not going to talk about something on this show that we're not excited about, so I guess I should find a different way to lead into other things, other stories here, huh? Okay, next up, The Flash. Not a comic that I followed too closely when I was younger, or, you know, I think I might have read one issue ever. But this kind of goes to how we were just talking about, you know, casting news, you know, like dream casting for this role, like we were talking about with Batman. There's been a few names floating around. Ryan Gosling is one. I like Ryan Gosling. I mean, I just don't know if I want to see him as The Flash. Same with James Franco. I think the guy is, you know, a pretty good actor. Still, it has too much of a the Hollywood pretty boy thing to it, and I think it might actually hurt the movie more than anything, kind of like Daredevil with Ben Affleck. But there was one name that I saw that I would absolutely love to see in this part, and that is Jesse Pinkman himself, Aaron Paul, from Breaking Bad. And
I can see it.
I totally see it. He's the right age. He's pretty much the right build. And he's a great fucking actor, plain and simple. And he has because you know all these superhero movies, they like to you know bring like this like darker edge to it, you know, to the source material. I think that he could pull off that if that's the direction that they wanted to go.
Yeah, I mean that hadn't even crossed my mind, and that sounds just about perfect to me. So are they supposed to be doing a Flash movie? Because I remember reading sometime within the last week that I guess Arrow has been successful enough, which is Green Arrow on CW, which is a network I never ever watch. But apparently it's done well enough over there that they were thinking about doing a Flash series. So that was the last I'd read about Flash. Did you read something about a movie coming up?
The article that I have here that I'm sourcing does not say – yes, it does, actually right here. It does mention it as being a movie. And I know that there was a an idea that was floated of a possible after the Batman Superman movie, doing like a Superman movie with possibly Flash, possibly, you know, somebody else, kind of like building blocks towards a Justice League movie. But I don't know. It could be wrong information, but it seems like it's a film.
Yeah, I mean, whichever way they go, I think a series would definitely be interesting. I think if they want to do a Justice League movie, they need to have some consistency, though. So I wouldn't want to see a different person in the role as opposed to a movie and the TV series. It needs to be kind of one and the same. But if they can pull it off, I'm open-minded to a TV series.
Yes, and you had mentioned Arrow, of course, based on Green Arrow. I haven't watched that show myself, but I have heard enough positive things about it that I actually have appropriated a copy of the first season, and I'll leave it at that. And I plan to actually sit down and watch it probably within the next month or so. I have a couple other shows that we're in the middle of watching when I get through first. But, no, it has my interest. So we'll see. Moving away from superheroes here for a minute. Are you a fan of the Hobbit movies?
Oh, I loved it. I was actually just talking to somebody about the movie before we started the show up. What do you got to tell me about The Hobbit?
Well, they wrapped the filming of the final movie this last week, and it looks like December 2014. Of course, that's when it'll be coming out this year. We have the Desolation of Smaug, and then the final movie will come the year after that. And it's going to be great. I'm a huge fan, you know, of Tolkien, of the movies that have been made of his work. A lot of people like to, you know, give the film shit, you know, saying, oh, it's a movie, it's about walking, you know. Kevin Smith, you know, famously put that in The Clerks 2. and that's not a knock on Kevin Smith either, because I love that man. I love the world. It's I get like so immersed in those movies. I can't help but feel like I'm there, and I really care about like all the characters.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on a little bit more. I'm excited for a movie coming out soon, a little something I wanted to talk about. I think it might have even just come out today, I'm not sure. Elysium, I think looks great. It's from Neil Blomkamp, who did District 9, which I thought was amazing. I'm excited to see Matt Damon in an action role other than Bourne. And the premise of the movie looks really cool, too.
I haven't seen a whole lot about that movie, but what I have seen, I am definitely interested in seeing it. My wife has mentioned a couple times that she really wants to see it, so I know it's something that we will be watching very soon. What's the basic premise of the movie for those who do not know of it?
So it's kind of in the future, like District 9 was, and whereas District 9 kind of tackled apartheid and racism as a theme of the movie, this one's kind of examining the gap between the wealthy and the poor. And Earth is just, it's in the future, you know, like every other movie with Earth in the future, it's kind of, you know, resource dry. And that's where they keep all the poor people, whereas there's this giant space station, I think it is, for all the wealthy people to live on up there. And Matt Damon is just kind of a guy who decides that he's gonna break in there, where they want to keep all the poor people out. And beyond that, I'm not sure exactly where they're going with the movie. I know Jodie Foster's in it. I think she's kind of supposed to be the main antagonist, which could be interesting. I like Jodie Foster. And I don't get out to the movies a whole lot, but I think this is one I'm definitely going to have to make a trip for.
Yes, I'm indifferent to Jodie Foster, but I'm not going to bash a movie just because she's in it. Whenever I think of her, though, I think of Jesus Christ. What was that movie where she got raped on the pinball machine? It's kind of a terrible thing.
Not a clue.
Well, there's this movie once where she got raped on a pinball machine, and it was pretty fucked up. Geez, I can't even think of the name. But anyway, I think of that, or like Nell. You know, Trey and the Wind. Fucking crazy ass Nell. But anyway, no, I'll definitely be checking that movie out. Was there any more movie news that you wanted to touch on?
I think that was just about it as far as my stuff goes.
Okay, so we're gonna move over here real quick into a little bit of gaming news. This week it came out that the Xbox One is going to launch a full 2 weeks before the PS4. It's not the year head start that they had against the PS3, but it might be enough to kind of sway some of the people who have, you know, who are on the fence. I mean, there's people like you who already have made their choice and they're going Sony, but there is a lot of people out there who are still on the fence and who have this, you know, money for a console burning their hole in their pockets. And so I could see a lot of people not wanting to wait and jumping the gun and picking up the Xbox One instead. What do you think?
I think those people are unprincipled douchebags, and they should probably have their console smashed in front of them.
All right. Wow, you're taking a hard stance on this one. I just choose to vote with my wallet, and you know, I am gonna buy the PS4 first. I'm gonna wait and see, you know, on how everything pans out with the One. I do see myself eventually owning it. Whether or not that means that you're gonna come to my house and smash my console in front of me, that will probably happen. I'm gonna buy the damn console. Please don't crush my console is what I'm trying to tell you right now. Please don't.
No, but as far as like the 2 weeks thing goes, like I really don't think it matters. It's not going to make any difference between whether that happens or whether it's the same day release for both consoles, because both are going to sell out. You're not going to be able to find them anywhere until the second shipments come in, and probably even longer after that. So I don't think it really makes a huge difference.
That could be very true. Okay, we're moving on here. This week, Rockstar Games let loose that not really let loose, because they are so tight-lipped with any kind of information coming out of that company. But it seems like we could be getting a sequel to Red Dead Redemption, which it comes to a surprise as no one. That game sold hand over fist. I loved it. Were you a fan of Red Dead?
I was kind of a dick when it came to Red Dead, and I think I was poor at the time. I couldn't afford it, and everybody was playing it, and I was kind of like, fuck these guys. So I refused to play the game, because I am like that, and sometimes I'll just refuse to play something.
You? Be like that? Oh, come on. I can't see that. They also... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
They also... kind of insinuated that there's going to be more games coming out with other franchises, including Borderlands and Bioshock, of course. Both those are big sellers. Pretty much critically raved I love me some Bioshock. I know you love you some Bioshock. You love Borderlands. Yes. My wife fucking gets addicted to Borderlands, so I got that to look forward to again, not be able to get the fucking control. I still have not played either Borderlands game. Like, I've played it, like, here and there, but, like, she kind of took over it, and I was like, all right. But, no, I was actually good because, you know, before that she didn't really have a game that she, you know, completely loved, and I was, you know, happy that she found something like that. But there was another little rumor swirling with all this, the possibility of the much-anticipated sequel to Bully. Were you a fan of Bully?
Ooh. I actually was. I think it was, like, one of the first games I bought for my Xbox. I tried to 100% it. I couldn't quite do it. I got pretty close. But, yeah, I loved the game, and I would definitely love to see a sequel for that before Red Dead.
Yeah, so it definitely does need to come first. It's been too long. I would hope that it would be, you know, a new story as a new kid, possibly maybe this time at a high school. Instead of, I think it was a middle school in the first one, wasn't it? A private middle
school. I think it was supposed to be like a prep school, so it was kind of like all grades.
Yeah.
So I think
it
had the older and the younger kids, so yeah.
It would be nice to maybe get into like a public school setting. I mean, it would be a little bit harder to do it that way, even with keeping with the age, because, you know, then you can't, you know, have these kids living on campus. So at that point, we're talking about setting in college, and I don't want to see that. It has to be, have that youth, that whimsy to it, or it won't be the same game.
Yeah, I think they could probably figure out a way to pull it off in, like, a public school setting without you, like, being there and stuff. You just, like, enforce curfew and shit like that and whatnot. But I don't know. I like what you're thinking there. I would like to see it in, like, public school, high school setting. I feel like there's a lot more mischief to be had.
Yes. One more little video game tidbit was there was some more screenshots released from GTA 5. I know they love doing this, sending out, you know, a few screenshots, you know, give us all boners and be like, hey, look, you got to wait a little bit longer. But they are all beautiful, very, very beautiful. This game looks fucking fantastic. There was one of these shots that I wanted to point out was it's a picture of Trevor, the psychopath that you play as one of your three playable characters in this game, and he's sporting a sleeveless Love Fist T-shirt. And if anybody knows GTA, they'll remember Love Fist from Vice City, the band that you kind of you have to escort around. There's a famous like a limo escort mission. I think you were picking up prostitutes and shit for him. It was fucking awesome. I totally fucking freaked out when I saw that shirt. I want to own it. It's fucking awesome.
Love Fist.
Yes. Fist up your ass. But no, these pictures look great. This game just needs to hurry the fuck up and come out. I need something new to play.
I can wait. I'm poor. I'm not going to be getting it on launch anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, well, I think I've already got it half paid off. I am poor myself, but I very rarely get to buy games. This will definitely be one that I will be buying midnight on the release night.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was done.
No, so I got one thing I wanted to talk about. I hadn't really been following a whole lot of the Arkham Origins game that's coming out yet, even though I absolutely loved the first two.
Yes.
Played the hell out of both of them. But one thing that did catch my eye this week was that they are doing multiplayer mode, and it's sounding like it's going to be 3v3v2, where it's going to be a Joker gang, a Bane gang, and then Batman and Robin. And I think the gang can each, you can play as Joker and as Bane. And I think that, I don't even know exactly how the mode's going to work out, but I love creative new stuff, 5-on-5, team deathmatch type things just get old and boring after a while. I love creative multiplayer, so I'm excited to see where they're going with that.
Yes, definitely. Did you see the Copperhead trailer that they put out? I think it was last week.
I saw the screenshots. I didn't watch the trailer itself.
You should definitely go and check that out.
All right.
It's fantastic.
I mean, Batman's got such, like, a wealth of villains to draw from, and a lot of them aren't very well known, except for, I'm sure, to the bat freaks like yourself. So I love that they can pull these ones out that are kind of side characters and bring in into new eyes people that would have never known about these characters otherwise. So I think it's great that they're pulling guys like that. And I think Deathstroke's a playable character, is that right?
Yes, it's a exclusive for pre-order.
So, again, another great character that I love that I know a lot of people that are just kind of casually familiar with superheroes and comic books know about. I'm really excited that they're pulling guys like that out, like they always have for all the games.
Yes, and that is one of the main reasons why Batman is the greatest superhero series, in my opinion, because they have so many great villains. It takes great villains to make a great hero. You get guys like Superman, and they don't like they have you know Lex Luthor, and you know in the movies like Zod, and and stuff like that. But really, they don't have a lot to draw back on, and the ones that they do get repetitive. With Batman, there's always some crazy freak right around the corner. But that's going to wrap it up for the gaming news, I believe. There's one quick thing I want to touch on before we end the show tonight. My co-host here, Brett Beeler, is actually going to be getting married next Saturday. Are you excited for to go into the life of the married man?
Oh, you know I am. I am just super pumped. I'm really excited to get over it. The stress level will just be kind of down for both me and my adoring soon-to-be wife. And we're going to have a lot of people there. It's going to be great. Lots of family. I'm pretty excited to see everybody and tie that knot.
Yep. Have you handed over your balls yet?
I don't have any. You know you already got them in your purse.
That is very true. But I just have to say that I'm very happy for you. You're a great guy. And, live long and prosper.
Thank you.
Live long and prosper and nerd the fuck out. So that's going to do it for episode 2 of the Nerding Out podcast. So we're now going to segue into Song of the Week. This week, I had some little special. I love me some Steel Panther. I'm sure all you out there love you some Steel Panther. Even if you don't know who they are, you fucking love them. Or I'll fucking come to your house and I'll kill you or do something, rape your body or do something. I don't know. I'll do something. I'll smash your consoles. I'll smash your consoles if you don't like Steel Panther. Fuck you guys. This week's Song of the Week is Death to All But Metal. And before we do that, this is Jeremy Staples saying goodnight. Would you like to say anything to our audience out there, Brett?
Yeah, have a good night, guys. Don't get too crazy. Don't nerd out too hard. And if anybody tells you not to nerd out too hard, punch them in the fucking face.
I could not have said it better myself. All right. See you all next week. Nerd out.